Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The IRR has just completed some polling covering social, economic, and political issues, and has revealed some fascinating insights. And every set of polling reveals something new, but really new as of late. And the person who knows most about this in the IRR probably at this stage, and has done the analysis to the finest point, and we're looking at the political state of play as of now. Welcome, Herman Pretorius, head of strategic communication at the IRR. Herman,
morning. Always a privilege to be here with you.
Herman, this is not a once-off. This is not the first time we've done such polling. We do it periodically, as do other groupings. But it's a very detailed and comprehensive set of polling questions that we garner these responses to. What period did this particularly cover? Because the problem, obviously, with polling is that it is a snapshot at a given point in time.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing to start with. This isn't a prediction. It's not a prophecy. It's a poll, and it's a good poll at that. We meet the methodological standards of global best practice. Whether you're looking at Pew Research, Ipsos, Gallup, isn't somewhat a silly poll. So its findings all the more dramatic because of that. But the findings were made even more dramatic by the fact that this poll was conducted between the 27th of March and the 3rd of April. And listeners would remember that on the 1st and the 2nd of April were those two blockbuster parliamentary showdown days where the question of the VAT increase got first through the standing committee and then through a full vote on the National Assembly floor. So it was a period of intense focus on a very specific set of issues of, personal finances, the economy, socioeconomic priorities. And within that framework, we coincidentally happened to be out in the field collecting these polls, these answers in our survey, asking if an election were to be held today, who would you vote for? And the result was quite an interesting one, a first for the IRR's history of polling, where we found the DA to be a smidgen above 30% and the ANC a smidgen below 30%. So as of the time of this survey, at the time of the budget debate, the whole country sort of hearing about VAT hikes and so on, amidst that consideration of factors, the DA pipped the ANC to the post to, for the first time that I'm aware of, become South Africa's largest political party in a credible opinion poll. Mm.
And other than the luck of falling in that period, so there was something very tangible to affect people's responses, what are the issues that came out from the polling that motivate South Africans? What are the issues that would have created that swing that we've not seen before? Ideology or policy?
It would a combination of both, but not ideology. I think people like us, even in the think tank space, should be careful when we ascribe an ideological position to the people of South Africa. I think Maslow, as a general rule, allows you to worry about, a few things at a time. In a country where we have crippling poverty, real fear for safety and security, to get to the self-actualization, the fuzzy stuff of ideology, isn't something generally accessible to the public. But one of the strongest indications that the VAT issue stands behind the shift of political support is that if you look at the three biggest parties that voted against the VAT hike, the DA, MK, the EFF, across the board, all of them saw their support rise from both the elections last year and the IRR's opinion polling in September, October last year. So the EFF at the time of the election, just below 10%. Then October, September last year, is 6 or 7%. Then now, as of April, at the time of the debate, above 10%. MK, a similar story, smidgen below 15%, falling to 12%, now above 15%. And then, of course, the DA, the third biggest, or the other big three parties that voted against the VAT hike, 21.8% at the election, up to 22.3% in our polling towards the end of last year, now at 30.3%. Compare that to the ANC, the IFP, and the PA, the three most prominent parties who voted in favor of the VAT hike. ANC down from 41.3% to 29.7%, IFP down from 5.5% to 1.7%, the PA down from 3.7% to 1.7%. So the clear image, the clear picture that emerges is that this VAT hike mattered. Mm. But I think what also comes into play is the longer term trajectory, the longer term trend of socioeconomic frustration with the ANC. They've been given the benefit of the doubt time and time again. They were given the benefit of the doubt in the GNU. And I think the VAT issue was just this catalyst, this proxy, perhaps temporary, but perhaps on more lasting basis, that the ANC no longer enjoys the trust of aspirational voters who've gone, right, I simply cannot do this with the ANC anymore. Mm. They are not the pragmatic, Mbeki economic growth ANC of 20 years ago.
Well, you make a point, I think, in the report that others have made, and that is that the ANC's drop in support is reflected by a 10 to 15% group of loyal ANCers who are floating. In fact, so in other words, they are responding to their life circumstances and what they see around them, and perhaps the degradation of some of an improvement earlier in during a period of ANC rule, and then in the last 20 years has fallen again. And the comment that the ANC could recover to 40%, maybe more, if it put in place, people could see changes. Now, there is, to my mind, there's been nothing that the ANC has done of late that suggests that it will do that. Not a single policy has been a positive one, not a single piece of legislation. And as I was just talking, these new bizarre social engineering restrictions on private companies to meet, not just meet employment equity targets, essentially racial targets, but they call them targets, but they're essentially quotas. And you can see that from the draft legislation. So the impression I get from this, and before we go on to a specific question, the impression I get is that essentially the South African public is responding more and more in exactly the way voters responded in the UK or the USA. They are bread and butter issues, which is what politicians should be answerable to. That's what they should. That's what they are there to do, is improve the lives of their voters. And this really seems to be clear that South African voters are very much in the same position as most voters in democracies anywhere.
And I think what makes this point especially telling at the current moment is that in the poll, we had four income brackets. Mm-hmm. Household monthly income of below 2,000 rand a month, between 2,000 and 8,000 rand a month, 8,000 to 20 and 20 and above. Mm-hmm. In three of those four brackets, the DA is now the largest party. Even in the below 2,000 rand per month household monthly income. Mm-hmm. So the DA, in a surprising twist, is now sort of competing with the EFF in the poorest income bracket, mm-hmm. for who is the biggest party. And the DA gets 29% of that vote, and the EFF gets 25% of that vote. That isn't anything other. You can't interpret that as anything other than socioeconomic frustration. The socioeconomic frustration with the policies the ANC have failed to hear the critical response from voters. Someone once said of Margaret Thatcher that by 1990, She had lost her superpower, which had been the ability to keep an uncanny pulse on the public mind, to understand, to almost instinctively grasp where the public is. And I think we're at a similar point for the ANC. I think all Iron Ladies start to rust at some point, and they have not learned that, not from the election result, not from the 20-year decline from having 70% of the vote in 2004, they haven't been able to hear that every time they've gone for the redistribution, class envy, class war, racial blame game, every time they've tried that, it has cost them at the polls. And they've tried that even through the GNU. And I think this VAT issue just became this clear proxy representing this frustration. So I agree with you. I don't see the ANC reforming, rejuvenating to the point of getting back to having that basic trust of these are the people I think should be in charge of socioeconomics. It's too bloated. It's too slow, it's too hollowed out, it's too factionalized, it's too corrupt. So I think there is a path for the ANC to recover, at least two paths. The one requires them to do some serious introspection and pivot to more pragmatic pro-growth policies. The other one depends on them mobilizing once again their formidable election machine. And both of those are questionable prospects at the current moment.
Well, one gets a feeling that there's just such an intellectual, let's say, a lack of intellectual heft, and has been for a while, and it's just not getting any better. You make the point, which is perhaps a little disturbing, if understandable, that although there's still support for the ANC-DA-GNU-led coalition, there has been some increasing support for the idea of an ANC-MK or ANC-MK-EFF coalition, and it's not on ideological grounds, but it's based on the grounds, and I'm interested in your comment on this, and based on the grounds that they feel that the ANC is more likely to sort of bend and do things and compromise with under the threat of what the MK or the EFF might say. Is this an understandable situation? And Is it likely? I mean, would ANC not run the risk of completely being sort of overwhelmed by its former members and components?
Yeah, I think so. This was the weirdest part of the poll findings, because in subsequent reports that we're going to be publishing on policy preferences, we can see that what the EFF and MK offer are not popular. They haven't grown in popularity over these last few years. So we see two positives for the EFF MK camp, as it were. Number one, we see their support rising to the same or above the levels that they achieved at the election last year. But at the same time, we see the GNU question shifting a bit, where at the end of last year, there was a clear majority in favor of a DA ANC GNU without the EFF and MK. Now there's only a plurality for that same question, that the DA is still the preferred option, but no longer to the same extent. So we're caught in this sort of almost counterintuitive situation where the policies of EFF and MK remain unpopular, but the parties gain support, yet the DA gains more support, yet a GNU with a DA in it loses support. And the only reasonable interpretation I could give to this is that there are significant voters who've decided this GNU might be ideologically what they want in a good sense. They want the ANC and the DA in there, but it's not doing anything. They're becoming incredibly frustrated. It's paralyzed. The ANC isn't humble enough. We're not in a position where the ANC can actually listen to its GNU partners. And if there's one thing that you can actually credit MK and the EFF to, is that they've always been good at gaining the ear of the ANC, for good or ill. They have used aggressive, underhand, unethical, possibly illegal tactics. But my word, have they managed to get the ANC to respond to them? And I think that's what's behind this frustration with the GNU as currently constellated, is it is just a question of, are you guys going to actually damn well do something? We want to see something. We want the DA policies to be implemented in the main. We trust the ANC to be part of that GNU in the main, but it's just not working for us. Give us something. Give us this disruptive, action-orientated GNU that is this sort of meld of bravado, but at least something rather than perhaps, you know, the tepidity that might be perceived in the current constellation of the GNU.
Now, this is not sort of directly pertinent to the poll, but the questions are naturally come of it, is not only is the direction that the ANC insists on maintaining being felt by the voters, who are essentially ahead of the ANC. The ANC is listening, by all accounts, only to itself, which is a terrifying idea. But the fact that it was the rah-rah announcement of NHI just before the election, which they thought would, you know, boost their thing. And it was a resounding failure, which is interesting. But the fact that given where we are globally, our sheer weakness in terms of our relationship with the U.S. as a destination for investment for anybody, local or international, that it's almost like every step it takes is doubling down. I don't know if there's a sort of a noun for doubling down, you know, doubling downers, but the ANC that's the one thing it seems to be certain of. The budget had no growth. There was no indication that it needed to, that it would do, and it's still no indication that it would do what is needed in cutting costs. And essentially, for the EFF and the MK, they just had to sit there and watch him put in a VAT increase, and all they had to do was oppose it. I mean, why the hell not? But it's as if it's almost like there's the ANC slowly committing South Africa to suicide, if you can do that.
I think that is. The central tension in South Africa at the moment is, can we keep South Africa long enough to survive the suicide of the ANC? And at this moment, I think we can. But it is certainly clear that the ANC seems to be making every wrong decision it can. I can't remember if it was Bill Clinton who said of Arafat, the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
It goes way back before that.
yes. So the ANC is now in a similar sort of mind space. They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. They could have appointed someone competent to head our ambassadorial offices in Washington. They couldn't. Now you hear that, you know, Rolf Meyer or Martinez van Schalkwyk or Andries Snell or Gerard Koornhof, supposedly Afrikaner candidates, will sort of tick that box. Again, none of them, perhaps Rolf Meyer by, you know, the happenstance of history, but no real substance there, could represent the country with any credibility. So on that, they are fumbling. On the doubling down of employment equity nonsense, they are fumbling. On the NHI, as you mentioned, they fumbled. And you know what? I spoke to a journalist the other day who said that they'd asked the ANC whether they've ever conducted an opinion poll on the popularity of the NHI. The answer was no. This is a party so disconnected from its source of support that it cannot comprehend what is happening to it. That is why we are seeing them go, oh, let's appoint an Afrikaner. They look at Trump, they look at the American right, and they think, okay, it must be an Afrikaner. No, never mind the criticism for race-based policies and the destruction of property rights. Let's zero in on this identity, this Afrikaner thing. So they're on every big issue, the ANC is getting it wrong. And I think it is because it is tired, it is exhausted, and frankly, it has never suffered under weaker leadership.
That's it. Well, there is more we could extrapolate from that and talk about, but I look forward to talking to you about further reports on further aspects of this, because it's a fascinating insight. Herman Pretorius, thank you very much for joining us.
A great pleasure as ever. Thank you, Sarah.